Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiinka 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. I like to welcome those new friends and say Habari Gani. And I like to say what's up to my old friends. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining me on this Saturday evening. I hope you're getting ready for the festivities and the holidays. I know I am. And who's loving you now is the real question. And are you a part of a tribe? That's the only way you're going to get somebody to love you. You're going to have to connect yourself to a posse, to a tribe. That's right, because there are benefits in being connected to a tribe. We've already discovered that. And if you haven't found out yet, go back and check out some of our audios on demand, and we can disperse information about how do you find out where your tribe is and how do you find out if you're obligated to a tribe. Now, our questions on our billboard are asking there are questions that are asking you, are you responsible for your tribe? And what commitment do you have to your tribe financially and morally? And are you responsible for keeping in contact with your ancestors? And is there some benefit in you making the sacrifice to call their name on a daily basis and to reconnect them back to the tribe? Are there benefits? And do you know of any ancestor's name who might not be listed in your book, your Lamb's Book of Records? You might want to include all of the obituaries and keep all of their names written out on a tablet somewhere, preferably on your altar, so you don't forget any of the names. It's very crucial that you be reminded to call out each one of your loved ones who've made their transition, because you are reconnecting them back to the family, ladies and gentlemen. And our topic today is the benefits of being the tribe. And what about ancestors? Now, what about ancestors? We've been talking a lot about ancestors and going to the talking cure room to talk to our ancestors, but we haven't had a real sit-down discussion about just who are your ancestors. We talk about them traveling through the middle passage and coming up through the annals of history and under through the Red Sea, and those that are trapped out there that we don't know, the unbeknown. We've talked a lot about ancestors, but just what can dead folks do for you? You probably are asking yourself that right now, Omi, what can my deceased loved ones do for me? And is it possible to reconnect myself back to them? Well, we're going to talk about those things today, and we're going to try to set the record straight that we call on our ancestors because they have never died. They have just left this plane. Transitional-wise, they have left this plane, but their spirit and their energy still resides here. They have a frequency, ladies and gentlemen, and because we all carry a frequency and we vibrate even unto the grave, there is still a vibrational frequency in a deceased person. So therefore, we are talking about the real human being, the spirit, the soul man that resides here with us in this plane. Energy cannot die, nor can it be recreated. It must dissipate and go back to from which it came. So we're talking about the energy of our loved ones, not the physical body. Please don't get it twisted. We're not talking about a dead body sitting up here in a corpse form and you communicating with it. No, we're talking about the essence of that person. The essence is the essence that God gave him or her. That essence could no more die than God being dead himself. And because the essence that God gave us is eternal and can never die, it is a frequency that goes on vibrating. It dissipates into the atmosphere. So therefore, it's trapped between here and there. It's in the atmosphere, so we can still commune with it. That's what we're talking about when we talk about communing with our ancestors. And we're not talking about worshiping our ancestors. No, we just don't do that. Africans do not worship dead people. I repeat, just for the record, and this is according to Omi, and this is not substantiated by Blog Talk or Project 2019, we do not worship dead people. We're talking about communing with their spirits, because their spirits have always been with us and they will never leave us, because energy is what we're talking about. And energy cannot be killed, it cannot die, nor can it be recreated. So therefore, you have energy with you at all times. Now, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So when you go to these funerals and you're jumping up and down and you're boo-hooing, saying you'll never see John again, I will never see Muggy again, how could I ever see Big Mama again, Papa will never come back, Papa hasn't went anywhere, the essence of Papa and Big Mama are still with you. And if you don't believe me, try calling their names and asking them to do things for you. Try asking them to make the way plain and clear and asking them to assist you. They want to help you. They've been waiting for a long time for you to call their name. They want to assist you. And they're bumping into you every step of the way, trying to show you that you need to call on them as the closest to kin, because they know the way to heaven. you need to call on them because they're the ones that can get a prayer through for you. And if you've been silly enough to think that once you buried Auntie and Papa, that they're gone out of this particular plane, then you're foolish than I thought you were, because you'd be a damn fool if you did not acknowledge your ancestors. They're the only ones who can do something for you in this plane. They're the only ones fighting for you and have your vested interest, because they have unfinished business here on this plane, and they intend to complete that finished business, like it or not. They will get around you if they have to, but they're here for the long haul because their essence is still in this plane and this energy that we talk about called melanin. We can tap into it. It hasn't gone anywhere. And here to talk about it is Omi, because I know better than anything else about the ancestors. My mother made her transition when I was just 2. I was introduced to her when I was 10 years old. I continued to commune with her, and they made me understand that she could never die. I kept her spirit with me. She resides with me now. There's nothing that I do that I don't consider my mother and consult her for her assistance and aid in helping me. And you can too, ladies and gentlemen. We're not talking some spooky thing, and this is not the paranormal, but this is the normal reality of being living in an area, not just existing in a plane, but it's to tell you that eventually when you free up these bodies, you'll be able to exist in many different planes. Your body is what's holding you captive. When those people when we transition into a glorified body, the body will no longer hold you captive. And any, the rattling death that's within you, in the end, there's always a rattling death called Emi who is trying to escape these bodies. And when you think about keeping a person here on this earth too long, longer than what they want to be, they struggle to stay in these bodies. They know these bodies have held them captive. And you will soon learn the same thing, too. I don't want you to be confused about having your altar. It is your reasonable service to set up an altar to remember all of your deceased loved ones, to keep them in the family, to keep them abreast and up to date, and to keep them connected and to tap into their strength and their melanin. It is up to you, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want you to be confused by the term ancestors. Say it with me, ancestors, because we are going to get upfront, personal, and comfortable with you today on this subject of ancestors. Stay tuned. I'll meet you in the air. I'm live here on the air. Our chat rooms are in the process of being open. For those of you who would like to frequent our room and come in and chat, we encourage you to do so, because we have been requesting an assistant, a co-host for our chat room, and our lines are now open as well. If you'd like to lock in that dial at 646-478-0270, we'd like to encourage you to do so. And we've had some chatters that come in here in the last couple of days. We invite you to come back today and continue to chat and write your description on the board and be a part of the discussion. We're talking about ancestors today, and this is something that we are more familiar with than ever before, because our room is a conscious room. We are a family and consumer science room. We deal with mind, body, soul, and spirit, and we will not exclude communing with ancestors. And we would be a damn fool if we did not consult our ancestors to reconnect them back to the circle. So come over to the throne of grace with me as I prepare to pour libations to talk to myself. By inducing my higher self, I become more firm, and the Godhead that resides within me can continue to grow and collaborate with me. As the ancestors make room for me, I call on my ancestors, and I call on the four cardinal directions that the wind, and even, oh yay, the wind will open up and give way and assistance to what it is we need in our circle. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As we stand with our hands in a position as if we are ready to receive, we like to pour libations to Oladulamare, who is the god of the African race. Also, Akamare is the god of the universe. Akamare is a three-dimensional person, having Oladulamare, Olarum, Ori. Ori is clothed in matter, but remember I told you that Ori is ratified energy. That's what our ancestors are, ratified energy. When they make their transition, they go from eldership to ancestralship. Now, I'm talking about energy as we go before the throne of grace. We will pour libations to Oladulamare, and I say Ashe. Ashe. I pour libation to my father's spirit, Obatala, the man in white, Ashe. I like to light a candle for Obatala, and I light the brown candle for my father's spirit, Obatala. You can choose any candle you want, but I light the brown candle. And ladies and gentlemen, as you light the candle, be sure to understand that you are lighting a guided light for your ancestors to be able to see their way back to you. Now, they're not blind, and they're not, excuse me, I'll just break something here. They're not blind. They can also see, and they also have the ability to have a need for nourishment. So we have to pour the water because water is a life-threatening substance. And water knows no enemy. Water is neutral. So we use water because it embraces everyone. And water can be dangerous when not used properly, just like fire and all of the elements can. Now, I like to pour libations to Obatala. I say Ashe. I pour libations to the mother and spirit in my life, who is Yamanja, and I say Ashe. Representing Clara Mae Jenkins as my mother's spirit and my father's spirit, Robert Jenkins. I light the candle for Yamanja, which is a pink candle that I have lit for my mother's spirit. And I pour libations to the four cardinal directions. I pour libations to the east, and I say, oh yeah, carry the wind to the east. I pour libations to the west, and I ask OEA to carry the libations to the west. I say, I pour libations to the north, and I say, OEA, pour libations to the north. I pour libations finally to the south, and I say, OEA, carry the winds of the libation to the south. Ladies and gentlemen, as you stand before your altar, make sure that you understand that you must keep a list of all your ancestors' names. Whichever ancestor has made the transition, try to include their name to complete the circle. And call as many of their names as you can. And be mindful of those who were always aiding and assisting you when you were present here in the natural with them. Be mindful to remember the things that they like and the things they love. Some of them might like a great meal from time to time. Be mindful when you fix a plate in the kitchen to fix a plate to set it aside for Uncle Joe, because Uncle Joe always liked your sweet potatoes, or Uncle Pete always liked your dressing. Set small substance aside for them. And if there is an altar that has not been grounded. Make sure you have your altar to the ground and grounded and cover it up so that people are not disturbing it. Sometimes your ancestors may have liked a good cigar. Put a cigar on your altar, okay? And also making sure that you have a bell that you can use. Some of these things I have not had time to go over with you. I did this workshop before and showed you a bell to call your ancestors. Have a bell on your altar. And because of the time constraints, I have not been able to go over them briefly, but today I'd like to address some of the things and your candles. Now, I've changed my colors, but normally you want to have clear white candles on your altar, and you want to have between 1 and 7 glasses of water. These are the things that you know. Water is neutral. Water will also be substance to your ancestors, and have the list of names of your ancestors, and possibly something that will have fermented in it, a small bottle of vodka on your altar to ferment your altar. It's very important that you understand that you could also have an African statue on your altar. These are optional. Now, Yana Van Zandt introduced me to the Yoruba lifestyle. She introduced me to understanding the altar, and when I learned from her, I gravitated to what she was teaching because I needed it in my life, because I needed to know what to do with my mother's things. I placed my mother's things on the altar, her very jewelry that she wore before she transpired. These are things that I put on my altar. They're not mandatory. You can put various things there. Now, it's very important that you keep your altar clean by changing your water, because your water will have residue in it, and sometimes you want the water to have energy in it because it has energy. And using the water day to day, you have to freshen your water and be careful to keep your altar clean because your ancestors reside there. And cover it, keeping it low to the ground, preferably in a corner. And you might even take a cane and put it in a corner for old Uncle Joe, but keeping it out of reach for personal use. You might have more than one altar in your house, not just the altar where you pour libations. You might have an altar that's covered and unseen. It's very important that you go to the priest to learn about setting up your altar, because those are the things that you need in order to do your spiritual work. Now, a lot of you may not be looking to be a spiritualist or a part of Yoruba, but you are African. And if you're African, you do these things. I'm salubrious diversity. I embrace what is African. At the same time, I find the good things that I can use in my life from every denomination. As I talked to you earlier about the Buddhist Eightfold Path, I use that in my life because it is really accommodating and it meets my needs. I don't care that it comes from the Buddhism. I don't care that chanting comes from the Buddhism. The Africans believe in chanting and powerful words as well. You must remember, we got to come out of this binding religion that keeps us bound to something and trapped in something. You use these tools because they help you become a better spiritualist. And you must understand that the ancestors will not tolerate you ignoring them. They are very, very polite creatures. However, if you never go to them and make it known that you're aware of them, how can they ever help you? How can they ever assist you? How can they ever help you manage your life? How can they assist you with the children? How can they help you with your marriage unless you let them know what is happening? That is why it's so very crucial that you should speak to them as if they've never left this plane. It's very important that you should realize that they have a vested interest in you, more so than anyone on this plane. Who better yet to ask to take you to heaven, to make your petition known to God, than your ancestors? They're the closest thing to God, and they are rooting for you. They are trying to finish up where they left off, and they have unfinished business within your household, in your families, in your communities. So they're going to come back to make sure that they finish what they started. You're the sum total of why your ancestors came. Now, there are ancestors that you don't even know about that never made it through the middle passage, but they show up in our children because some of our family will tell us that our loved ones look just like Auntie Maddie. Our ancestors will come and show up in our newborn babies. They recycle themselves. And when you believe in reincarnation, your ancestors can never die. They just recycle themselves through their children or our children. But it's very important for us to pay homage, and I want you to understand, excuse me, the word paying homage means to give honor to and to give respect to. It does not mean to worship. It means to acknowledge and constantly call on that person's name and know that they have a vested interest in you. Let me give you a case in point. You might have a loved one that made their transition who was very, very close to you, and you might periodically sense their presence around you. You might even sense that they might have known what it was that you were going through, and all of a sudden, the very thing that you were worried about the most, closure seems to come to your life. A relationship begins to line up when you thought it would never straighten out. A loved one that may have your best interest and who was concerned about you might open up some opportunities for you in a job that you've been trying so difficult to accomplish. You might find that somebody has opened up the doors for you and poured out a blessing on you, and you'll say, how did this ever happen? How am I so favored, and who gave me the mercy and grace? Well, I want you to know your ancestors want to give you favor and mercy and grace, and they want to assist you. As I sit here and talk to you now, I'm an ancestor child. I make no bones about it. I apologize to no one about it. And being an ancestor's child means that I have acknowledged my ancestors ever since I was 10 years old. And because I knew that my mother had to have a vested interest in me, every part of my life, every step of my life, every accomplishment I made, every step forward that I transitioned, my mother was there, and my mother assisted and aided me. I know she did. There's no way that I could have come from a humble beginning like I did and have made the accomplishments in my life without my mother. Now, I've had other non-biological mothers who were play moms who aided and assisted me, but none who assisted me in the spirit like my biological mother. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she stays with me, and whenever I go places, I have been accused of having a large sum of people around me. And finally, a chief came out and told me that there were ancestors traveling with me, that he saw all of them, and they were with me. And when I went places, people showed up behind me. And I had to accept what he was saying because I knew he wasn't lying because I had heard this before. Now, I want to say this to you. There are special manners that you must remember, that there are certain prayers that have to be prayed, and you must remember that prostrating yourself before God is very important, but what you do unto God, you also do unto your ancestors. Is that worshiping your ancestors? No, because you are talking about your higher self when you bow your head down. Remember, there's no God in the atmosphere. You are really praying to yourself and telling yourself what it is you're going to do. I want to say, afternoon, God, if you're in the room and you're present, why don't you stand up and take a bow? Because we are now coming into our fullness, us women. We're coming into our fullness, and we've learned a long time ago that we were gods. And we knew this, and we knew there was going to be a time and place when people acknowledged that we were the gods on this earth. And we knew that we were going to have to take our proper places. Now, it is no accident that people from all walks of life and every cardinal direction are saying that there's a new energy on this earth, and that is the feminine energy that's being ushered in, meaning that the gods will be ushered in as feminine energy. I want to say that again. The gods will be ushered in as feminine energy, and taking our proper places will mean that we are going to have to talk about ancestors. Yes, you guessed it. We're going to have to put ancestors in a proper perspective. Life and death are one and the same. You cannot talk about life without talking about death. You cannot grieve yourself to death and think that there is some misdemeanor or God has an indictment on your life because he's taking family members out of your life. In the cycle of death and in the cycle of life, we recycle people in and out of this plane. It's very important for you to understand that if you don't understand death, you will never understand life. And it's not an indictment on your life to remove loved ones from your life. Why is it that African Americans, when they have funerals, they act as if someone has put a hit on their family members who made their transition naturally? God is not out to get you. It serves God no purpose to take loved ones away from you. Now, you remember the concept from Adam. By one man's sin, we enter into death. Because of Adam, that sin that he did is what allows us to die and have to transition into death. Now, that's what we read out of the Mutilated Bible. Now, there might be another reason, and it also says you sin unto death. Now, are there many times in this life that we could possibly meet with death? Yes, I have been told, and I've read as well, that there are many times that we can actually meet with death. Is death the end, or is it the ultimate solution for solving the problem of one individual, or is there an afterlife? And in that afterlife, what are we going to be doing? And somebody call in, tell me, what are we going to be doing? Are we going to be walking around heaven, praising God all day, or will we have real responsibilities? And is there a procedure, a chain of command, and a process in this afterlife? Now, everybody knows that December 21st is the Mayan calendar projection of the world coming to an end. Does that mean we all going to die then? Or does that mean that there's a new beginning of a new lifestyle, a new world order that we will usher in with the feminine energy? If it is with the feminine energy, we ought to be getting in position, women. You ought to be getting your best Sunday hat out, and I mean your best Sunday going to meet and dress. And you ought to be laying out everything that you expect to wear that day. Because wherever we're going or whoever we're going to meet, it's going to be a transition. And it is our time now, women, and we're going to get in position so that we can make decisions and rule as a matriotic society. So women need to be talking about going to the hairdressers, getting their outfit out of the layaway. They need to be talking about that day. If nothing else, we should be coming on these airways talking about our new plan and our new procedure for handling our lives, because things will not be known the way it has in the past. We'll be looking at a new paradigm shift. And if you haven't made that shift yet, you ought to be making it, because I think within that new world, we are going to be speaking from a plane of ancestors. We're going to be dealing with ancestors in a three-dimensional way. Now, in Star Wars, go back and view Star Wars. Star Wars has already been talking about people in three-dimensional planes, and I think they were called Melchizedek. And these people were able to come to the rescue of the living, and they were deceased people in Star Wars who came back and three-dimensional, and were able to assist and aid the living. Now, will the deceased be able to aid and assist us? Why, they're already doing that now. As even as I speak on these airways, they're assisting and aiding me now. And they will be doing it more so in the future, because we're going to give way to the fact that powerful people don't only exist in the earthly plane, but we exist in the spiritual plane as well. We become more than two-dimensional. We can become three-dimensional. And becoming three-dimensional would mean that we would exist in many planes. Now, the Bible said there's many houses in my mansion, meaning there's many different places that we have been before and that we exist on different planes. In other words, your ancestors haven't gone anywhere. They're on another plane. You still can communicate with your ancestors. And if you would like to continue to talk to them, I suggest you set up your altar and call their names and remember the things they love to do and the foods they love to eat and periodically make communion with them. Sit and talk with them. Tell them about all the things that they missed out on. Reconnect them back to the circle. Remember, we are communal people. No one leaves the circle. Everyone is still added back to the circle. And being a communal, you might have to go to the graveyard to reconnect those loved ones who are in the grave to solve a problem here on this plane. That's right. Some of you mothers need to go back to the graveyard. And you need to talk to those big mamas and mothers who kept the house in order and tell them to join you in the circle of life, to give their suggestions for how to get Junior in order or how to get Sister Girl in order, because somewhere along the line, you might have to call on them to straighten somebody out. Now, I don't know if you've heard the old wives' tales in Mississippi or not, but I would like to tell you one. The Mississippi people would gather around together and they would talk about stories called Hanks. And when Hanks came back to visit the family, they straightened things out. Sometimes they had to take someone out in the shed and straighten them out through a good thrashing or whipping, as some black folk would call it. Yes, because these spirits never left those areas, they stayed connected to the family, and when one or two of those children got out of order, they got a good thrashing from a Hank. And sometimes all you would hear in that shed was those people screaming out and you wondering who was in there whipping them. It would be one of the ancestors coming back to straighten those particular children who had gone astray. I know this firsthand because these stories were told in our families too. Now, if you haven't collected those stories, you ought to, and you need to reconnect yourself back to your ancestors. Ancestors are very, very important. You must pay homage to them, ladies and gentlemen. And you must ask permission to speak from the elders because they will soon become an ancestor. Now, there's some people in our family that will have to have, they will have to be monumentally created into an ancestor, and you will have to take their name and represent them somewhere here on this earth so that you can still commune with them. Because their life and what they've done on earth could be so great that you will need them to continue to go on in your communal circle. So you will go and make them into a deity, not worshiping them, but putting them in the park so that when you need to go there to reconnect, you can go there and you can find them there. Our ancestors haven't left us, ladies and gentlemen. Please know this. You can find them in the atmosphere. You can find them in your children's eyes. You can even find them in your lover's eyes. It's important for you to look for them wherever you go. They will not leave you. They're polite creatures, and you can call them at any time. And when you begin to go to your altar, remember the sounding of the bell. The sounding of the bell is what calls them to attention. And understand that they will watch over your homes. They will be like the watchman on the wall in protecting your environment. Those who were strong in life here on this earth are still yet strong in death. Call on the strong ones who were boastful and who were able to be heroic and be able to stand up and speak out. Call on those. Now, the ones that were weak and who have had bad behavior, don't go calling on them, because if they were not any count in the real world, there won't be any count in the spirit world. Call on the ones that have attributes, that have skills that they can lend their ashe to help you. Remember that You are talking to someone who understands that we are living a life of illusion. You are not in the real world. You don't go in the real world until you go into a trance and you go into a deep sleep. Then you're between two different worlds. You are looking at an illusion. All of this is an illusion. The real world is when you go into a trance. And that's when you see and that's when you understand. But know that this world is a counterfeit. It is not the real thing. The real thing is in the spirit world. Spirit is consistent. Spirit doesn't change. Spirit will remain the same. But the natural is forevermore changing. It is not eternal. So you must understand your ancestors keep you grounded so that you understand just as you are going to have death, you will also have life. And we have to get a better understanding when we do these funerals so we can teach better in the funerals and conduct these burials as if our loved ones have come back to join us and that they're not gone anywhere. And the sooner we start teaching this in our funerals, the better off we'll be. Because now we're making a mourning session out of people's transition, and we don't know how to release them and let them go. And we don't know how to know them in the spirit. But I'm encouraging you to get to know your loved ones in the spirit, but mean you know them better in the spirit. You have a closer relationship and a closer walk with them in the spirit because you can summon them at any time. They're present, and they're forevermore present with you. And they're not going to leave you as long as you remember them and remember to light a candle for them and remember to give them a drink of water to quench their thirst. They have need of substance. You must continue to feed them. And remember, as feeding them, you strengthen your family. And your family needs them in the circle. In order for your family to be strengthened, you go and feed your ancestors. Serve them a plate of food. Don't forget the things they like to eat and set those plates of food out. And because you made the sacrifice to give them a plate of food, guess what? They're going to make a sacrifice to help you in whatever it is you need. And they're going to go to that courthouse and fight that case for you. And they will go and speak to that judge before you get there. They will go and intercede with that job or that foreman. And they will talk to them and tell them your needs. And they will convince and persuade them. They will work on your behalf because they have your best interest, and they're the closest thing to God that you're going to ever get. So don't forget to not to pay homage to your ancestors would make you a damn fool. Once you begin to realize that they're your God, your judge and jury, you'll realize it's important for you to get upfront, personal, and
just unwind and say, hey.